Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1 down to the end of verse 5. But we will read the entirety of Psalm 112 together, and we will examine half tonight and the remaining half of Psalm 112 next Sunday evening. Psalm 112. Dear friends, the title of this evening's sermon, Blessed Be the Righteous Man. Blessed be the righteous man. Psalm 112, verse 1. Dear friends, the word of God says, Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. My dear friends, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we come to you this evening, humbly, remembering, Father, that in light of your holiness, we are sinners and rebels. That, O Lord, your word says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who seek for God. Behold, we have all turned aside. Together we have become corrupt. There is none of us who does good, not even one. Father, in light of your perfect righteous standard, Lord, we are all condemned. And so, dear Father, by your grace, you have supplied the righteousness which you require. The righteousness which you demand, dear Father, is the righteousness which you supply freely and fully to sinners, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And this righteousness you grant to sinners as we are, as through faith we are united to Christ. And in union with your dear Son, we are reckoned righteous as he is righteous. And you are, Father, now conforming our character into the likeness of your Son. So we pray, dear Spirit, that you would come and teach us to be the holy people that you've called us to be. Oh, Spirit, take these words and train us to have the same holy character that belongs to Christ. Father, grant us the same affections that are Christ's affections, a love for righteousness and a hatred of sin. Cause us to treasure your promises and to rejoice in your rule. Oh, Father, we hold to Christ, and in Christ, oh Lord, we seek to worship you. Father, bless this time in your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friends, this evening, what I want to set before you is this. Fear the Lord by holding fast to Christ alone. For Jesus is the righteous God-man in whom sinners are justified and into whose likeness we are being conformed. For the saints walk in the fear of the Lord, delighting in the government of God. The saints enjoy the favor of God who blesses both him and his house. The saints rest in the Father who cares for us and is conforming our character into the likeness of his Son. And the saints walk in wisdom, demonstrating that we are in Christ by the obedience of faith. Dear friends, Psalm 112 is by genre a wisdom psalm, and it's closely linked to Psalm 111, which we've studied over the last couple weeks. Psalm 112 is acrostic in its structure. That is, it begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and works its way through. This is a style that is used quite often in the wisdom literature and in the Psalms. And the Spirit is directing the psalmist. And it if we were to guess, it may be David. David's a hymn writer, the psalmist of Psalm 110. But the psalmist is being led by the Spirit to lead the people of God into corporate worship by meditating on what it means about the character of the righteous. Who are the righteous? Who are those whom God brings near to him to know him and love him and worship him? And what I want you to see is that what the psalmist is putting before us is the pattern of the godly man. And that looking through this pattern, we see the perfect. We see the substance. We see the truly perfect, holy, righteous man who is Christ Jesus, who is both truly God and truly man. So verse 1, the psalmist says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. Friends, the saints walk in the fear of the Lord, delighting in the government of God. Notice the praise the Lord. This is hallelujah, a summons for the people of God to give God the glory due his name. Again, friends, remember the Psalms are cultivating, training the hearts of God's people to worship him. Friends, this is why we need the Psalms, because the Psalms teach us how to worship. Friends, in the history of the church, those eras and times when the Psalms have been readily studied and enjoyed and have been an integral part of the corporate worship of God's people, they have been the healthiest times for the people of God. The church has been strongest when it has held fast to the Word of God and has greatly banqueted on the Psalms, because the Psalms are teaching us how to worship. And so it begins with praise. Praise the Lord. Give glory to God. What doctrine, what truth fuels this worship? Well, it is the pattern of the righteous man or the righteous person. Verse 1, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. You may recognize that language. It was in the very first line of the Psalter. In Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. This is the very same theme that we saw at the very beginning of the Psalter. Blessed. Some of your translations might say happy, but happy is not a great translation of this. This word I share, it means the favor of God, the face of God set upon someone. Blessed is the man, favored is the man, accepted into fellowship and friendship with God. The one upon whom God's face shines is the man who fears the Lord. Friends, the ultimate blessing that God gives is himself. Dear ones, you were made for union and communion with God. You were made to have fellowship with him, to enjoy him. The supreme blessing of God, life eternal, is eternal, holy friendship and fellowship with God. Friends, never forget this, that the greatest gift that God can give is himself. And he has given himself to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And by his Spirit, he indwells us, and we now taste in part this fellowship which we shall have to the full. Blessed is the man. Now the man here, this again, just like in Psalm 1, the idea is that of the person. The person, the one who fears the Lord. This is the pattern. The man who fears the Lord is blessed by God. To fear the Lord, remember, friends, as it is being used here, this fear of the Lord is a heart attitude of reverence, a posture of humility. This is the fundamental heart attitude of the saint. Dear ones, when God saves sinners, he changes the heart. Recall in the Old Testament that God said he would take away the heart of stone and he would give a heart of flesh. This heart transformation. This is the new birth. God changes the disposition of our heart. He changes our affections. Where we once loved sin and hated righteousness, now we honor Christ. We honor the Lord and flee from sin. God changes the heart. And the fruit of that changed heart, of the new birth, of our union and communion with Christ through faith, is a new heart posture of reverence before God. The saint has a newfound reverence and awe for God who has saved him. And this motivates and directs his worship and the way he lives his life. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. One evidence of someone walking in the fear of the Lord is that there is a delight in the commandments of God. Again, the power of the new birth is new affections. A new heart produces new loves. Dear ones, perhaps you recognize this, that before you came to Christ, church was awfully boring. The sermons were long and dull. You didn't like to read your Bible. You found it difficult to pray. Trying to share the gospel with somebody felt like you were just reciting a canned presentation. But God, by his grace, changed us. He gave to us new hearts. The Spirit came and gave life, and suddenly we began to delight in the commandments of God. We began to see the commandments of God not as God's exercise of tyrannical rule, keeping us from doing the things that we really want to do, but we saw in the commandments of God the glory of this God of grace, who in his love for us gave us his commands so that we would know how to love him, how to enjoy him. These commands we see now were given by a God who wants to protect and preserve us. These commandments came from the heart of a God who loves us and has redeemed us in his Son. So, dear friends, one evidence of the new birth is a love and delight in the commandments of God. Delighting not only in his promises, but also in his precepts. Finding joy not only in what he promises to give to us, but rather in how gracious his rule is over us. Friends, do you find the rule of Christ good? Do you delight in the commandments of God? Friends, I take great joy in looking at the Word of God and seeing how the law of God reveals the character of God. This is one blessing of the law of God. The law of God, the Word of God, reveals who God is. What he likes and what he dislikes, what's pleasing to him, what is revolting to him. We know God by his word. So the more we hear of his commandments, the more we're understanding who he is and this holy relationship he has brought us into himself with Christ. So the commandments of God reveal the holiness of God, the depths of our sin, the necessity of Christ, the Redeemer, what Christ has done for us. And now, by the law of God, Christ is directing us in holiness. So friends, what is the law? What is the role of the law of God in the Christian life? You know, there are some who say, well, since I belong to Christ, there's no more need for the law. We even have texts where it seems like Paul talks awfully bad about the law. Say that we're deemed from the curse of the law. What Paul means in the New Testament, when he talks about being freed from the law, is being freed from the condemnation of the law. Right? Friends, law is good if one uses it lawfully, Paul says, knowing that the law was set down not for the just, but for the unjust, not for the righteous, but the unrighteous, not for saints, but for sinners. Friends, the law of God, the commandments of God, are a delight to us because they reveal the holiness of God, our sin, our need for Christ the Redeemer. And as the law has been fulfilled in Christ, Christ now gives to us his commands to train us for holy living. So friends, take delight in the commandments of God. take joy in his word, because by the law of God, we are now being trained for righteousness. God is training us for holiness. Verse 2, his offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. So we look through the righteous man to Christ, and those who are hoping in Christ, those who are believing the promises of God, God gives great promises of blessing. God promises, and we may enjoy the favor of God who promises to bless his people, both them and their house. The favor of God extends even to our children. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Dear friends, God cares for his saints. He cares for his people. And we can trust our children to him. We can trust that God is able to care for us and also to care for our children. His offspring will be mighty in the land, the generation of the upright. The children of the upright will be blessed. Friends, do you know that as by the grace of God you have been born again unto faith, as you've come to Christ to trust and follow him, you are giving a heritage to your children and grandchildren after you? That it's a great blessing that God uses our lives to bless those who come after us. Wealth and riches are in his house. Friends, some people might look at verse 3 and say, well, God promises wealth and health and happiness. But dear ones, remember what the psalmist is doing here is he's using that proverbial general observation. God promises that as his people are faithful to him, that they'll prosper in the world, that they will thrive and flourish to the glory of God. And so we see that as the saints are faithful to steward their time and possessions and resources to do these things to the glory of God, that God blesses and enriches. And this is one evidence of his mercy and his favor. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Dear friends, it is in Christ that we are declared righteous, but it is also in Christ that we are sanctified. It's in Christ that our character is conformed unto his likeness. Verse 4, light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. Dear friends, the saint can rest in the care and provision of God. That God causes his light, his favor to dawn upon us. And that God, by his care, by his faithful provision, is also conforming our character. As we said, that now the saint begins to have the same holy character that belongs to the Lord. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. Dear friends, the process of sanctification is the conforming of the Christian's thinking, words, works, all of our way of life into the likeness of King Jesus. And so, to give the illustration, you and I are by nature sinners. So it's as though we are ladies of the street, we are wretches in the gutter, and Christ the Prince has come and he has wed us to himself. The Father has given his Son to us, and faith is as this wedding ceremony where we are bound to Christ. And we belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to us. And all of Christ's righteousness accrues to us. And all of our filth and guilt of our sin is credited to him. And he has wealth enough to cover all of our debt, and to cover all of our sin, and cover all of our shame. It's all of Christ. It's all of his bounty. And so it is in Jesus Christ that we stand acceptable to the King, to the Holy God. And because we belong to Christ, because we have been brought into the Father's house, Because we have been sealed by His Spirit, the Father is now training us to be the holy people that we already are in Christ, training us to practice righteousness, to put off sin, to put on obedience. And this is a lifelong process where God is teaching us, as it were, the way and the manners of the court. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, you are princes and princes. But you and I are still learning what it means to be the children of our Father in heaven, to delight in what He delights in, and to have the same affections, the same holy character that belongs to Christ. Dear friends, believers begin to speak like Jesus, to think like Jesus, to love like Jesus. God begins to form within us this same Christ-like character, that Christ is being formed in us. What a marvelous thought that is, that our Father would be so good to train us to reflect His own glory, even as Christ reflects His glory. You recall, friends, that you were made in the image of God. God made you in His image and His likeness. Our first father, Adam, was made in the image of God, and by his fall, that image was defaced. We're still made in the image of God, but we no longer reflect the glory of God in His holiness. But when Jesus Christ came into this world, He truly reflected to creation, to angels and demons, to the world of men, the holiness of God, the glory of God and His righteousness. And it is Christ who demonstrated to the world that God was gracious and merciful and righteous. All the holy character of God is displayed in Jesus Christ. And we who are bound to Christ have had that image restored. And now we are beginning to reflect dimly at times, but truly, the character of King Jesus. Friends, Jesus Christ is truly the only righteous man. Righteous in the ultimate sense. When the scriptures here in Psalm 112 and throughout the Old Testament speak of the righteous, they're speaking of the saints. They're speaking of those who have had their sins forgiven and to whom God has imparted the righteousness that He requires. They are righteous by status. And they're conduct is now one of holy living unto God. But in the ultimate sense, the one who is truly righteous is Jesus Christ. As the scripture says, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He alone is without sin, perfect in obedience, perfect in love. And the Father is conforming us to think, to live, and to love like Him. So dear friends, let us pray that the Father would continue to form within us Christ-like character. Let us be diligent as we study the Word of God, praying that the Spirit would take these truths and begin to form our thinking and fuel our affections so that we would love what Christ loves and hate what Christ hates. Let us be all the more eager to grow in godliness and holiness to the glory of God, because that is our destiny. Dear friends, remember the saint is headed to the celestial city. We are headed to the new heavens and the new earth. This is our destiny. This is our trajectory. This is where we're going. One day, friends, you will love Christ with all your heart and soul, mind and strength. One day you will love God perfectly, and there will no longer be any appeal or desire to sin. One day you will obey Christ joyfully from the heart every moment unto all eternity. What a joy that will be. And that's coming. So hold the promises of God. He is conforming you to the likeness of Christ. And as Paul says, He who begun this good work in you will not fail to bring it to completion. And verse 5, as we close, it is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. One mark of the righteous man, of the saint, is that he walks in wisdom and he conducts his affairs justly, even as Christ walks in wisdom, and conducts all his affairs with justice. Notice in verse 5, it is well with the man who deals generously and lends. Generosity marks the redeemed, even as generosity marks Christ. You know, Jesus was a generous man, one who gave abundantly of what he had. He was a man who gave up his very life upon the cross. But he had pity on the poor and the needy. Jesus was a friend of sinners. And so, friends, let us pray and ask the Father to give us hearts not to hold our possessions too tightly, not to hold our time too tightly, but to be open-handed with our time, with our energies, with our resources, that we might serve the Lord and bless others, who conducts his affairs with justice. The saint has a new standard. He has a new standard for his work. He has a new standard for his how he serves his family. The saint understands that now he is serving Christ in his work and serving Christ in his family and serving Christ in all these things. So he conducts his affairs with justice, with equity, because he loves Christ and he's seeking to love his neighbor. And so, friends, honesty should mark the believer in all that he does, especially in all of his endeavors and enterprises. Dear friends, the life of the saint looks different because God has made him different. We've been born again of the Spirit. We have been sealed by faith into Christ. We belong to Christ. We are slaves no longer to sin, but now slaves to righteousness. We are freedmen under Christ, serving in the liberty that Christ has won for us. And this means we look different in the world. We are being conformed into the likeness of Jesus. So, dear friends, in closing, fear the Lord by holding fast to Christ alone. For it is in Jesus, the righteous God-man, that sinners are justified, and into whose likeness we are being sanctified. Let's pray. Our Father, please have mercy on us, Lord. When we hear this wisdom psalm, we know, Lord, how we fall short. Lord, please continue to convict us of sin. Turn us away from all iniquity. Train us to love the truth. Fill our minds with sound doctrine. Fill our hearts with true joy and desire to love you. Strengthen us, O Lord, tomorrow as we go about the affairs and business that you've given to us. Lord, we ask that you would just continue to have mercy upon us. Father, we will not trust in our own performance, but we will trust in the full, sufficient righteousness of Christ. Lord Jesus, as we look to the cross, we see that you have borne our sin in your body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Father, have mercy upon us. Please make us holy, even as Christ is holy. Oh Lord, what a day it will be in glory to come, where we shall always love you and serve you unto all eternity. Father, thank you. This we ask in Jesus' name.